Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation." Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture.
Thank you so much for sharing today's Scripture. Now, today we kick off our summer movie series with a feature from Disney. It's a movie called Onward. It's an animated short, and this falls in the genre of road trip movies. Now, if you're anything like me, you really love a good road trip movie. I find that road trip movies can meet us at any age or stage of our life. They can captivate our imagination. They can grab our hearts. They can help us journey along with the hero and find self-discovery even in our own lives. Maybe for you, when you think about road trip movies, if you're looking for laughs, you might remember Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Or if you're thinking about liberation, maybe it was Thelma and Louise. If you're looking to be on a mission with God, my movie of choice is The Blues Brothers. It's one of my favorites and was one of the seeds of the gospel planted in my heart as a young man, learning more about who God was and who God was calling me to be. I think we have a lot to learn from this genre because we see in road trips that there's always a common thread. The hero or the protagonist, they have a hope or a dream or an obstacle to overcome. And then they set out on their journey with a companion or a guide. And as they're going on this journey, as they're going on this trip, they begin to discover and learn and explore things about themselves that they never knew. That's what happens in not only the movie we're looking at today, but in the scripture that we're studying. And as we think about the way these two connect, we can also see how it might influence and challenge us to understand where we're at in our own personal journeys, in the road trip of our lives. Now, if you haven't seen Onward yet, sorry about the spoilers here, but this is a story about a young elf named Ian. And yeah, you got that right. It is an elf. This takes place in an imaginary land. It looks a lot like our modern day society with technology and consumerism and all the things that we experience. But the inhabitants of this land are elves and fairies and unicorns and manticores. And it seems that there used to be this spirit of magic and folklore that captivated the imagination of all the inhabitants. And now they're in a different industrialized society. And Ian has some hopes and dreams that he's looking to fulfill. The problem is that in this world, Ian is living in a space of what ifs and if onlys. He grew up without a father that he never knew, and he believes that if he could only have time with that dad, he might have more confidence. He could learn important life lessons. He could receive answers to those deep questions in his heart. And what we see happening in this movie is on his 16th birthday, he receives this magical heirloom with the promise of casting a spell that allows him one more day with his dad. Unfortunately, the spell doesn't get completed, and it sets Ian and his brother Barley off into an epic quest to finish the incantation and be able to spend these final moments with their father. In our scripture today, we see the disciples are also on a road trip of their own. They're on a journey trying to overcome some problems, trying to fulfill some hopes and dreams of their own. What were the problems they were trying to solve? Well, for hundreds of years, the prophets had been promising that Messiah would eventually come. That when Jesus, the Christ, appeared on the scene, it would be to proclaim release from the captives, healing to the sick, recovery of sight to the blind, and that the year of the Lord's favor would be proclaimed. They were looking for a Savior. They wanted to know when this promised kingdom would be established by God, And kind of like Ian, they were waiting for a someday, believing that their dreams and hopes would be realized in a far-off future. As I considered our movie and today's scripture, one of the things that kept coming back to my mind was a poem I learned in seventh grade, a poem by Langston Hughes. Perhaps you know it. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? I think these words were resonating in my heart because of what has been happening in our society as well. We've been seeing a lot of searching and a lot of longing for dreams to be fulfilled, for hopes to be realized. And I believe that as this poem challenges us, it reminds us that dreams deferred can shrivel up or fester. Sometimes they can even immobilize or stunt our growth. They can be like a sickness in our heart. Early on, we see that Ian's dreams had shriveled up and they had even disappeared. They were replaced by missed opportunities or experiences he thought he would never have. When we look at our scripture and we think of where the disciples were in their journey before Jesus arrived, some of the Israelites had hopes and dreams to see God's kingdom that had festered and rot. They'd come to a place of complacency and they'd even become complicit in the powers and injustices of the Roman Empire. Some even gave up altogether under the sagging, heavy load of doubt. Doubt that God would ever send a Messiah at all. And whether we're thinking today about our dreams deferred or our plans postponed, many of us can relate to having hopes that are unrealized. Plans have been put off in the last 5 months. Graduations, end of the year celebrations have been canceled. We've seen the pushing back of our return to workplaces and our students' returns to school. There are a lot of parents that are feeling ill-equipped and anxious about how to engage their children. We've seen weddings delayed and put off indefinitely, funerals that have not been able to be attended by families who are seeking to grieve and mourn, loved ones lost. Not to mention the family vacations, special trips, moves to new homes, and all the more importantly, what we've seen happen and witness this summer in our struggle to be a community connected through love and grace. But I want to challenge us. What if we pull those unrealized dreams out of the closet of improbability? What if we stop waiting for someday and realize that transformation and change can begin happening right now? What if we stop letting those latent dreams shrivel up and fester with uncertain futures? Here's what I believe. I believe that dreams pursued can motivate us. They can catalyze new opportunities. They can bring growth and healing and transformation into each of our lives. We've already witnessed that in a big way this summer, in the midst of our postponements and our cancellations, in the midst of our anxieties and our pandemic life, we saw a cultural tipping point, a breaking in our society. And we're continuing to untangle the legacy of systemic racism in our country. And it gives a witness to the true depth of this poetic cry for justice that was expressed by Langston Hughes. We're living out the very moment of seeing what happens when dreams are deferred, and we are pushing to realize the hope of equity and justice in our nation, that which has festered and oozed for so long. In a way, we've seen a prophetic explosion that this poem anticipated. Dreams pursued are powerful. They're life-changing. They're transformative. Sometimes they're explosive and volatile, full of grace and beauty. Sometimes they're full of righteous fury. disciples and many of Jesus' followers, in a similar way, they were tired of waiting. They had these festering dreams that were ready to explode. And so at a moment's notice, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. They wanted something more. They wanted revolution too. They were willing to do everything possible to lay it all on the line to overthrow the current reality that they knew in order to see God's kingdom come in their lifetime. But they had to trust Jesus. They had to take the first step on a journey, and as difficult as it may seem, or the obstacles they needed to overcome, they set out on a trip to find transformation. In our own lives, those big hopes and dreams bubble under the surface of who we are and who we desire to become. They wait for that right moment when we set our mind to motion, to inspiration, to initiative, and we take the first step toward possibility. I've seen it. I've seen it happen in our community. I've seen it happen in our congregation. Against the odds, you have stepped into a space of beauty and grace. You decided to overthrow the status quo and realize the dreams that were forming in your hearts. We've seen that in backyard nuptials, patio proms, drive-through graduation celebrations like we saw at South Lakes High School. A lot of you have taken this opportunity in this moment to work towards self-improvement, to learning, to capturing new goals, maybe even looking at different career changes. Families are reconnecting and spending more time together. Maybe you're calling old friends or reaching out to loved ones that you haven't talked to in a while. In the face of adversity, I have seen this community rallying together to provide food for those that are in need, resources for those that don't have, and to have difficult conversations about race and racism, to step out in faith for our friends and family as we see our passionate call for justice, for equity, for diversity. It's not easy, but it's worth it. The initial steps of a journey are difficult. There are always obstacles to overcome. As we see in our movie, Ian almost missed the opportunity. What he needed to overcome was his shyness, his awkwardness, his low self-esteem. Most of all, he had to learn to trust his brother. He didn't think his brother was trustworthy, but instead of thinking about who he hoped his brother would become, Ian had to begin to see who his brother was and the experiences they were having in that very moment. The same thing we can see in the life of the disciples. They had obstacles and fears that they needed to overcome. Many of them were living in the someday, believing that God's kingdom was far off, a hoped for tomorrow. They were walking out of their fear and insecurities, but Jesus very directly spoke to the Pharisees when asked about when they could anticipate the kingdom coming. And he said, "The coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." This was a radical shift in thinking for the disciples. They had to overcome all that they had learned as children, all that they had been brought up to consider about when God would fulfill all of his promises, and realize that that fulfillment was happening right now in their midst. What's holding you up? What are the obstacles or fears that you need to overcome so that you can see God is present in the right now? Many of you know I'm an avid motorcyclist, and in that community we have a saying. We say that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Sometimes when we get caught up on where we're headed, we miss what's happening right in front of us. And we might have this inappropriate thinking of when we get to our destination, when we get to the end of our journey, that's when we'll have arrived. That's when our goals will be achieved. That's when our reward will be experienced. Too often, a lot of us Christians, are waiting for that someday, for that far off. We believe that salvation is only about getting to heaven, about getting our ticket punched. Tim Ward, the pastor of Restoration Reston, reiterated this by sharing at one of our recent meetings a time when he was preaching, and he was talking about Pascal's wager. Pascal is this, I think, 17th century philosopher, and he proposes that we should all look at our life as Christians as the possibility of making a wager. If we hedge our bets on belief, then we are betting on the possibility of heaven, and it's better to believe and receive heaven than to not believe and risk the consequences of hell. Pascal's wager, maybe you're familiar with it. As he was sharing this, one of his congregants challenged him, though. She said, "No, that's not right. We don't have to wait until we die to find out if the wages that we made of belief or unbelief are reality, because I have seen God at work right now. I have seen transformation in my life because I believe in Jesus. I've seen the kingdom of God in our midst." What we need to remember and what we need to realize, as Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, that wherever he is, wherever Jesus is, the kingdom of God is there. It's the inbreaking of heaven right now. We can't forget that. There is so much opportunity to know and to experience. Salvation has come to our lives today. We don't have to wait for it. God wants us to be a part of his inbreaking heaven endeavor. He wants us to see wholeness, healing, restoration right now. And he doesn't want us to hold back. He doesn't want us to be afraid of the what-ifs and the if-onlys. He wants us to leave it all on the field. Here's another way to think of this. Maybe you know about Olympic swimmer Katie Ledecky. She was in the 2016 Olympics, and she doesn't look exceptional by any rate. She just looks like an average swimmer. But here's the difference about Katie. Most swimmers, when they start a race, they take it kind of easy because they want to save something for the end of the race. But Katie, she goes all out. As soon as she launches from that block, she gives it her every ounce of energy. She says she's not afraid of not having enough energy at the end of the race. She's afraid of having something left over. What if we all live our lives like that? What if we lay it all on the line? What if we realize that God's promises are right in front of us, that the kingdom of God is in our midst? It's a both and. It's a now and a not yet. What if we begin living our lives, even in the midst of pandemic, looking for where God is showing up in such a way that we experience transformation? I believe if you embrace this challenge, if you embrace this journey, you may look back in 10, 20, or 30 years and realize, I was never so close to my family as then. I never knew my neighbors like I did during that time. I never spent time with God like I did in those moments. You fill in the blank. What transformation, what glimpse of heaven on earth can you see in this very moment? Have you ever been in a rowboat? There's an author that made an observation about how a boatman has to face one direction while rowing in another. If you've ever been on the water in a situation like this and you've stopped rowing, you'll realize that the breeze or the current can move you in any direction that it wants. You might list aimlessly or be pushed in a direction that you don't want to go. You may never get closer to your destination or perhaps be able to keep your bearings straight. What we need to do in this moment is lean in to what God has in front of us. We need to actively participate in rowing towards a destination, but as we're doing so, we need to look back at our journey reflectively. This is an interesting posture to have, to move forward by looking back, hoping to make progress. We consider the experiences and wisdom that we may glean from the past. I think that's what's in front of us today. that the truth and the wisdom we need can often be seen as we look not only back at our journey, but we have eyes to see what is happening right now in the present. That's when we have our moments of growth, when we have our spiritual epiphanies, when we have emotional healing. That's when we begin to say, aha, there's the kingdom of God. I see God at work in my life. We see this happen for Ian as he nears the end of his journey. The wish list of things that he hoped for, the things that he wanted to learn with his dad, things that he thought that he could only experience with his father, he began to realize that he'd been experiencing them all along the trip with his brother Barley. The hopes and the dreams that he had been unfolding in his life, and he'd almost missed them. He'd been so busy focusing on the future that he missed the treasure of what was happening right now. The change and transformation that he longed for and thought it could only be provided at the end of his quest was experienced in the journey. It wasn't about the destination, it was about the journey. Jesus' followers learned that same thing. They were learning what God's promises for them were, what God's challenges were in their life. They had to stop. They had to listen. It was difficult and there were obstacles, but transformation came. The kingdom of God was made known through their lives, through the journeys that they continued after Jesus' journey to the cross. That same thing can happen in our lives. But what's Jesus saying to us? How do we experience that? I believe right now Jesus is saying that he wants us to take a breath, to pause and reflect. I believe Jesus is telling us, don't be anxious. Don't dwell on the uncertainty of the future, the anxiety of the things that you can't control. Instead, change your posture. Look backwards and reflect on what God has been doing right now in this moment. Look to your left, look to your right, and know that the kingdom of God is among you. To quote another animated sage, Master Oogway, maybe you're familiar with him, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery, but today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Have you not heard? Do you not see? The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is near, right here, today, in our midst, already and still yet to come. Amen.